It's good to have all of them.
Keep us on track.
Hey, man.
Keep us going.
Awesome. It's been great this morning. Welcome.
Oh, nice Bible, bro.
Welcome. Awesome.
It's nice.
It is encouraging to see how God uses each and every one of us. It's how we give ourselves to God to be used. I think that's amazing. You know, a lot of times me and Donald talk, and I call him and I say, "What you doing?" He said, "Well, brother, I'm about to really dive into this Word of God and everything." And I love hearing it because I just hear him talk about, like, man, this is like really like getting in there, like wrestling with this, getting in the city, like, woo, a lot. And sometimes you're like, a lot of reading. That's great, but man, you're like really going after that. So this is so inspiring to hear when I talk to Donald this here, you know, that's a part of his routine every day that he just he's gonna get in that Bible, he's gonna fight, he's gonna like, man, I'm just trying to know God better. So I think that is just so encouraging and everything.
Amen.
So but single's great, songs are great. John, of course, your message was really good. Really enjoyed that.
Thank you.
Great to see everybody here. I envision and I look, I was like, wow, when all the campus kids get back, man. And we're full without a lot of our campus kids here, you know. Mm-hmm. Even though Chrissy brought out, but a lot of the rest of our campus kids here, we are full. And I'm like, wow, this is amazing.
Amen. Amen.
You know? Mm-hmm. And as we're preparing to go into the new year, our theme is build.
Yes.
And I look around the room and I say, God is doing something. Mm-hmm. What's that scripture? The Lord said, look, I am doing something new.
Yes.
Oh, man, he is building. And it's not just putting bodies in seat. He's really building our souls. He's building character.
Yes.
He's really like changing our minds and our hearts to turn in the right direction, man. And that's why it's so great. And I'm looking forward to all the men and the brothers participating. Just like, hey, we're going to step up.
Amen.
You know, we're going to be with it. It's not to say we haven't been, but I've been here long enough to know that for a long time it was just me and Richard. Mm-hmm. Gloria's been here long enough to realize it too, just me and Richard. But to see what God has been bringing in.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. God said, I'm going to put some men in place for you. Mm-hmm. Men that lead the way and love. So I think that's amazing and encouraging. So, also, it's great to have Matthew here.
Yes.
You know, Matthew can sing, you know, he can carry a tune, you know. I didn't forget that when Scott shared that. I never forgot that, you know. I forget something, but I'm like, oh, I can sing, you know, so amen. Right. So.
I think we're looking for someone to help
meet
the music.
Yeah,
we can give them a year or so to practice.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Hey, start this year. Yeah. Maybe get ready for next year. That's a week, brother. Hey. Amen. Hey, but it's great to see, you know, in all our families, there's so much talent, you know.
Yes.
You know, Scott can speak, and I know, Scott is a very good speaker.
Yes.
I love to say that God works with him. Chris is a very good speaker, too. Very motivated, very rapid. And then to have another son who can sing, you know, it's like, okay. And then to have a talented wife who does very good with crafts and stuff. I'm like, wow, that is a blessing and an encouragement to have that in your congregation, you know. So,
yeah.
Amazing family there. And then the rest of us, we have so many things we bring to the table. Mm-hmm. But we're going to be in Colossians chapter 1.
Okay.
You know, we talk about building up the kingdom. It requires much labor. It just does. It requires labor. And the type of labor it requires is love.
Amen.
You have to love what you do. You really do.
Yeah.
It's a difference between doing something and having love for it. Mm-hmm. Because if you do something you have no love for it, you're just ready for it, what? To be over.
Yeah.
We've all worked a job where we're like, I didn't like that job. And man, you were looking hard for another job. And some of you may have been in the position where you were like, I just take anything to get away from this job. Mm-hmm. You don't like it. But then you've also had a job where you're like, I love this job. Mm-hmm. I love what I do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love the people. Mm-hmm. It's a fulfillment.
Yeah.
And so, you know, anything that you labor in, it requires love. Love has to be involved. You know, over in Colossians, you know, building up the kingdom. It requires love, but it's also a service to God, you know. And we go start with Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Get my thoughts together. And Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, Paul talking about his labor for the church. In verse 24, it says, now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you. And I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I want to stop right there. You know, in our service to God, like Paul, we also experience suffering or in our relations to our flesh. From the first study up until now, our flesh has been rebelling against us.
Oh, yes.
It also rebels against the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that God has deposited in us. The flesh is something to contend with. Mm-hmm. But you know, like Paul says, you know what? I do it for the body of Christ.
Amen.
I do it for the church. Mm-hmm. This is my service. This is my labor to God. A lot of times we do things looking at our own interests. Mm-hmm. But Paul's like, no, this is not about me. This is about the body of Christ.
Right. Amen.
This is about what brings God's glory.
Yep.
You know, we have many days where we suffer much in our flesh because of our service for God or to God and our service for the church. But ask yourself, is the suffering for Christ worth it?
Come on.
Think about it.
Every moment.
Is the suffering for Christ, is it worth it?
Every moment.
That's a personal question to you. Because I know I've been around for a long time and I've suffered many things. And I'm not talking about when I got persecuted outside the church building. I was a baby Christian then back in 95 in the snow. And I look back now and I think, who persecutes a church in a blizzard? That's a lot of zeal. That's a lot of fire. And I still remember that day. I remember they say, "Hey, brother, we need you. We need you to stand outside the door, post up at the door." They had us post up all the doors around the church. And we weren't being persecuted by people who didn't know God. These are people who fell away from God.
Oh.
These used to be disciples. And they were out there in the snow, put flyers on the car, and they was up in my face. "You don't need to be, they not right. You don't need to do all that." And they were the whole night during midweek. It's dark and it's snowing, blizzard. We're posted at the door. I'm not talking about that persecution, although that happens. I've experienced it. But you know that flesh is something else to contend with.
Yep.
Especially when God exposes you to what sin is and how simple the flesh is.
Yes. Yep.
And you have to battle that flesh, man. You have to battle flesh. Especially when you've lived in the flesh so long. And God's like, we've got to change your trajectory. We've got to change the way you think. Let the Spirit guide you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, when you're contending for the church, you're contending. You are a defender. You are a protector. You
say,
"I will stand and hold my post firmly when God's kingdom comes under attack."
Mm-hmm.
To stand in such a place or a position, you have to ask yourself, is Christ worth it?
Yep.
Or are you willing to be God's doorpost? Are you willing to be God's man or woman who will stand guard for the church?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you willing to guard the kingdom of God against things, against people, against your flesh that wants to rebel against it? You know, you can leave God out of the equation. Don't you let that? That's the free will. You can leave God out of the question, out of everything that you want to do, and all the decisions that you want to make in life.
Yep.
You can remove God totally out of your life. But what does that look like? Mm-hmm. Turn on to Luke 16. What does that look like? They're like, "I'm just going to live life, and I'm going to move God out of the equation." Turn to Luke 16. What does that look like?
Not good.
What does that look like? Luke chapter 16, verse 19. What does it look like to say, "I'm going to live life without God, and God's going to be out of the equation"? I think I know best. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. We know it all too well. It says, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day." It says, "At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores, and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores."
Yep.
"The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried in Hades, where he was in torment, and he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm, has been set in place, so that those who want to go from there, who go from here to you, cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family. For I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses. They have prophets. For us, we have Jesus."
Yeah.
Yep.
"Let them listen to them." We need to listen to Jesus.
Yes.
Verse 30 says, "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." Mm-hmm. He said to them, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead."
Amen.
Right? That's right.
Without God in your life, without God in your life, oh man, it just doesn't look good in the end, does it? The end is just not good at all. And what I thought was like, wow, okay, God, this is like some serious torture. The man is already in Hades being tortured. But you allow this man to see the blessing of those who are connected to God from far away.
Wow.
They're not suffering. It's like you're allowing them to witness this while I'm suffering. I'm like, goodness.
Wow, that's true.
God is even allowing him to have a conversation with those who are living in comfort and peace in the kingdom of God.
Wow.
And he's begging for mercy for his brothers. Huh. Mm-hmm. I thought, we were talking about hell is someplace you want to go, but I'm telling you, if I was in up there, I would say, God, I don't want to see nobody living good.
No.
I don't even have a conversation with him. I don't even want to know it. This guy is getting to witness everything while he's suffering.
Wow.
It's like a reversal of fortune. Because yes. Lazarus sat at his door and watched everything he was doing and living in comfort on his earthly life. God said, okay, we'll just reverse this. Let's see how that feels. The only difference is the rich man's head is eternal punishment. Mm-hmm. We need God in our life.
Yes.
Amen.
That's right.
As he told him, they have Moses and the prophet. We have Jesus and we have the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Shame on you to ignore that.
Yeah.
Foolish of you to ignore that. Foolish of you not to go deeper into the scriptures to understand who Jesus is and what Jesus expects from you. This is a warning from God saying, hey, if you do not listen now, I'm not going to send nobody else after Jesus. After you die, I'm not going to send nobody else. We want to have God in our life. We need to have God in our life. The benefit of having God in our life is eternal life. The benefit of not having God in our life, it's like this rich man in Hades. It doesn't help. Go back over to Colossians chapter 1, where we were at before.
Awesome.
You know, building up the kingdom requires much labor. The work we do is in service for the church. It's in service for Christ and service for God. Now pick it up in verse 25. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. Paul says, "I have become its servant." He's talking about the church. He says, I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present the word of God in its fullness.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people.
Amen.
To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles, being us, the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you the hope of glory.
Amen.
Amen.
Wow. To present God Christ and the church to the world requires that we present it in full, not in part.
Yes.
Right.
Giving somebody something in part doesn't help them. They need to see Christ working in you. They need to see the full show. I'm going to read something to you. It says, taking hold of the full picture of someone is hard at times, especially when you don't want to see them for who they are. Mm-hmm. A full picture puts everything in the right perspective, the right light. When we see the full picture as it was intended to be seen, and then choose to receive it in whole rather than in part, we will have a full understanding and grow. But when we deny ourselves the opportunity to see things as they are, we suffer greatly and lose out. God's story, his word, was meant for us to receive it so that it would disclose the great I am to us for the purpose
Amen.
Of knowing him.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Knowing God is about being in an intimate relationship with him so that he may be fully known to you.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. You know, the thing that we do here as representing the church is that we've got to let God's hope be known to everybody.
Yes.
In full. We have to allow the hope to be known in full to everyone. People need hope. We see it every day. People need hope. I thought about this cold weather that I see coming through.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And of course, my mind thought, man, we need to have some warmth. We need to be warm. There are people who are looking for shelter that gives hope to them.
Yep.
There are people looking for a warm place that gives hope to them. Even though us, we have the comforts of home, we also start, guess what? We start getting stuff secure, start getting things right. I don't know about for you, but me, I start worrying about my electric bill. I don't know why. It's great to have an electric bill. Like, oh, they're going to run this thing so high. But I love that I have the ability to turn the thermostat up. I do appreciate it.
Yeah.
I love that I have it. That gives me hope that I live in a warm home. Ask yourself, will you be the hope that God needs you to be to your community? Because people in your community always need hope.
Yes.
Will you be the hope that your neighborhood needs? They need hope. You know, yesterday I was sitting up front of my house and I happened to be looking at the blinds. And my neighbor, I tell you about, she's homeowner association. She's a single woman. And, you know, she can be fearful at times. I understand, still have to live out by yourself. So I'm looking and I'm observing some things like these guys are going around doing some things like that. You know, she's coming out, she's falling in, what's going on? Then you guys, they speed off and everything, you know, whatever. And so then I see her, and I'm like, what she got in her hand? And she's like this. Yeah! Did she have a gun? She's like this behind there, like, I said, oh, she's about to shoot somebody. And so I'm just observing from afar, like, what's going on here? I said, and I just assumed, like, maybe these guys were up to no good. But she had her gun. And you can see it, I'm like, she had that thing right behind her, like in a movie, like she's like very well hidden. You weren't gonna know nothing until she pulled it out on me. I thought for her, it's a sense of security and hope for her. Mm-hmm. And a situation that she felt like was like, I don't feel comfortable with what's going on here. Mm-hmm. But also I see like, man, we need so much hope. Mm-hmm. Because we have to revert to that. Because of the fear that this community, not the whole community, but it can bring to you. I know me and John was talking, and John was sharing about how Steve shared with him, because you know John's on the RV thing. And he said, John, you need to be careful where you stay in Memphis, because crime is high.
Yeah.
Nothing to play with, you know? And I thought, man, hope, so much hope is needed. It's not only our city with crime.
No.
That's so many other cities with crime.
Yeah.
And all city has, we have our good spots and great spots, but there's a lot of crime. Mm-hmm. But the only hope that's really going to help people is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's it.
There's the answer.
Now, the gun, it'll give you hope when you shoot somebody, but this trauma is going to come with that. Because you hate that you were put in the position to have to do this. Yep.
Amen.
That's the trauma that comes from it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, own the gun is not the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that somebody put you in a position that you feel threatened that you have to do this.
Yep.
And then you live with that trauma, and then you got to question, did I have to shoot him? Why did I have to shoot him? Why did they even show up?
Yeah.
We need Jesus.
Yep.
We need to work at it. We need to always give him Jesus. You know, will you be that hope in your community? Will you bring hope to your neighbor? That's the question there. Finally, going down in verse 28, it says, he is the one we proclaim, admonish, and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. He is the one that we present. Are you presenting Christ every day in your walk?
Mm-hmm.
People seeing Christ in your walk every day. You know, bringing hope to all requires three things. Preaching. Are you preaching the word of God? We have a message to deliver.
That's right.
We have a message to deliver. That message is not one to debate nor negotiate, but we have a message to deliver.
Mm-hmm.
Two, warning. Are you warning everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Are you warning? The gospel must warn that failure to receive Jesus Christ means eternal fire, eternal torture, eternal torment.
Mm-hmm.
The rich young ruler knows about that.
Yeah.
You know, if you take away the warning, you take away the urgency and the need of Christ.
Yeah.
A lot of times we talk to people, a lot of times when we do the study with people, a lot of times when we have the hard talks, we struggle with it.
Mm-hmm.
The conflict begins with us, like, God, do I really got to have that hard talk with them? Or do I really got to say that? How about let's just have all grace and no admonishment? I think that'll work good. All grace and no admonishment.
I might not get the job done.
Many souls have been lost that way.
Rages.
Now how about we just do all admonishment and just thunder and lightning and brimstone and just keep piling it in? Many souls have been lost that way.
Yep. Yes.
God said there needs to be a balance.
Preach that now.
There needs to be a balance.
Yep.
Do not remove one and only give the other, but give both.
Yep.
Because we need both. We need constant warning and we need constant grace.
Amen.
That's how we're going to make it.
Yeah.
And you've heard this before. Don't take it personal when you're rejected.
Mm-hmm.
No.
I remember the story of Saul. I remember the story of Samuel. And I remember the story of God and the nation of Israel. When they wanted a king. And old Samuel, he took it so personal.
Yeah.
And God said, hold up. Pump the brakes. It's not about you. They're not rejecting you.
They rejected me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Too many times when we have to have a hard talk with people, we feel like, God, why are you rejecting me? Why are you not accepting me? Can't you see that I love you? Come on. God said, you're doing it all wrong. This ain't about you.
Mm-hmm.
It's about me. You're the messenger. You deliver that message. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me.
Right.
Yep.
We have to admonish people. We have to warn them to take Jesus seriously. Because nothing else in this world is going to save you. I don't care how they dress it up. I don't care how they paint it. I don't care how good they make it look. One thing God has told me, and I can stand on this. God said, you will exit the planet someday.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm like, man, Jesus. Yeah. I haven't seen anybody in the world. Do you got anything better than that? Can you trump that? Can you trump? Okay, God also said, you're going to have to stand before me and we're going to have to talk about your life. Can you outdo that? Can you outdo that?
Mm.
Wow. That's why we got to show grace. And that's why we have to admonish people.
Yeah.
We have to remind them of the urgency of why you need to be loyal to Christ and why you need to commit to Christ. Finally, the third one is, it says, with all wisdom. He says, with all wisdom, everyone with all wisdom, so that they may present, and so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. Wisdom. I've said this before, and I'm going to say it to the day I die, because it's so important to you and our life. Know your Bible.
Amen.
Amen.
Know your Bible.
Preach.
The enemy is going to send plenty of people where they're going to throw all kind of scriptures here and all kind of scriptures there. But if you know your Bible, it won't even faze you.
That's right.
Amen.
You won't even be shaken. Know your Bible. That's how you're going to be able to impart wisdom to everybody that you come in contact with.
Amen. Truth.
Know your Bible. Finally, verse 29 says, to this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me.
Yes.
Man, how hard are you working? How hard are you working? He says he strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in him.
Yeah.
Is that you? Are you strenuously contending with all the energy that Christ is putting in you? Are you allowing Christ to put his energy in you so that you yourself can work in the fullness of Christ, in the fullness of God, so that you yourself can help people to mature and grow and be presented to God in fullness? If you're only connected with Christ half-heartedly, you are doing yourself a disservice.
Yes.
You're doing the church a disservice.
Right.
You're definitely doing your Lord and your King a disservice.
That's right.
I think in Revelation, God says he needs you either to be hot or cold. He don't like lukewarm.
That's right.
It's very distasteful to him. Mm-hmm. So if you are not fully, completely, strenuously contended, as Paul is continuing with Christ's energy in him, you are lukewarm.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you are distasteful, detestable. You are detestable. You know, building up the kingdom is going to require much labor.
Yeah. Yep.
You need to find joy in the work.
Amen.
Amen.
You need to find joy in the work. Amen. Now, God makes it clear. The work's going to be hard sometimes. Because you're going to have hard conversations with some people. But the conversation is needed. But you need to find joy in those hard conversations.
Yep.
Right? Knowing that what you're doing is pleasing to the Lord. You need to find joy in loving people when they just need to be encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
You need to find joy in helping people when they need a helping hand.
Yes.
You need to find joy in preaching the gospel of Christ, because everybody needs to hear it.
Yep.
You need to find joy in the fact that God says, hey, I can use you.
Amen.
You're important.
That's right.
There's a place for you here in my ministry. You know, I want to share something, and I know John shared me, and John did great, and I know some of you noticed it, but I thought, I look at us. And so, you know, John has a speech impediment, but he speaks great, don't he?
Yes. Amen. Amen.
That's an example of allowing God to use you.
That's right.
That's amazing. He didn't speak shy, like, oh, I'm having one of my moments, and people look at me crazy. John was passionate.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Convicted. Mm-hmm. And he brought that word.
Yeah.
But I love his story. He said, I found God.
Mm-hmm.
You see, he gives himself fully to God.
That's right.
And let the energy of Christ work through him. I sat down by that. I was like, many years I said, God can use everybody.
Yeah.
God always brings and says, let me show you. John is that example.
Amen.
I look at Richard has a struggle too, but Richard is a steadfast brother.
Yep.
Consistent.
Amen.
With all the struggles he deals with, consistent. But it took God using John to remind me, see, now I can use anybody that wants to be used.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Anybody wants to be used. I look at that. Mm-hmm. I look at Donald, an amazing brother, love God. I remember Donald said, he said, man, I want to be here. And he said, Zoom and told me, you better get in your Bible. You better get deep in your Bible one day. And like I said earlier, that brother is in it. He's in that Bible. I'm like, amen. Not because, hey, I get to live my dream. It's because God says, Donald, I want you here. It's your time. Let's do it. I've heard your prayers for many years. Mm-hmm. And Donald goes after it. He goes after it. I love it.
Donald.
I love it. I love Todd. I love Todd. Todd struggles to fight to understand the scriptures. Mm-hmm. Todd digs deep. I love it. Todd lets you know. I remember Todd said, you know, I have a lot to say. I don't always say it in the right way. Mm-hmm. It don't come out right sometimes. And sometimes it's not clear, but Todd was like, I just want to know, help me. Help me. Mm-hmm. I look at the people that God is, you know. I remember Scott shared, like, you know, I don't know about speaking a lot. I remember they were visiting from Memphis, like, you mind speaking? And when I heard him speak from Memphis, I'm like, oh, this brother can speak clear. Mm-hmm. Very clear, very eloquent. Man, I mean, God's like, you see this? I'm like, yeah, Lord, I see this. And now look at this brother now. When he gets up to speak, I'm like, man, Scott is like the esteemed brother of all of us.
Oh. Yeah.
Rips out the laptop. We're going to start here. I'm like, oh, man, I love it. I love it. It's just amazing to see that. And Chris is on fire. He's on fire. Chris mm-hmm. like, all right, I'm trying to hold as much fire back, but you know, I feel like Caleb, man. I'm about to set it on fire up here. I hope you old folks are ready, because we about to go.
Old folks.
Okay, you're older than him. But I see that. I recognize how God is just using men who have faults in many ways, but God says, man, your fault is my glory.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Your fault is my glory. And God's like, if you can believe in me, then I can use you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
These brothers I speak about, they are contending strenuously with Christ because they want all the wholeness of Christ's energy in them so that they can serve the church.
Amen.
We are God's church.
Amen.
Building up the kingdom, it requires labor. But there's joy in building up God's kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
There's joy. And if you can see that there is joy in God's kingdom, then you and I will always be able to present Christ in his fullness to everyone that we
Amen.
Encounter. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you, brother. Amen.